trying to let the shout go too. But. Woo! Hallelujah. Mark chapter 11. I could sing and praise and shout all day, but I really feel like I got to get into it right now. I got to get into the word. I feel like I know the Lord has got a word specific to us today. So let's go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, we'll start in the first verse. All right. As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the towns of Bethpage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. Going to the village over there. He told him, as soon as you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one's ever ridden. Untie it, bring it here. If anyone asks, what are you doing? Just say, the Lord needs it and will return it soon. The two disciples left and found the colt standing in the street, tied outside to the front door. Now, I picked the New Living Translation. I'm not doing that again this year. It doesn't say colt. Doesn't say donkey in the King James. The two disciples left and found the colt standing in the street, tied outside the front door. As they were untying it, some bystanders demanded, what are you doing untying that colt? They said what Jesus had told them to say, and they were permitted to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it, and he sat on it. Many in the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others spread leafy branches they had cut in the fields. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, praise God! Or as it says in the original text, Hosanna. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessings on the kingdom of our ancestor David. Praise God in highest heaven. So Jesus came to Jerusalem, went into the temple. After looking around carefully at everything, he left because it was late in the afternoon. Then he returned to Bethany with the 12 disciples. Lord, make it easy to preach. Lord, open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds to your word. We love you, God. We praise your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, as you're sitting down, just look at your neighbor and say, the Lord is in the room. Hot. I need a haircut. I need a beard shave. How many of you actually have seen my face without a beard on it? Oh, very few. I might just do it and show up and scare y'all. Hey, Jason, Abby, y'all stand up real quick. Engaged. Getting married. Oscar, where's Adelina at? Ah, she ain't here. Oscar, go ahead and stand up. Oscar and Adelina, engaged. Let's go, y'all. Young adults in here getting married. Sydney, where are you and Stephen? Yeah, stand up. Married last week, 2 weeks ago, right? We got people getting married in this church left and right. Come on. It's amazing. That's amazing. Good luck. I'm just kidding. I love you, baby. Oh, my God. All right. So, this week is Palm Sunday. And Palm Sunday is the start of what we as the church world call Holy Week, right? We call it Holy Week. That's what the name that was given was given. It was named Holy Week. And it starts with Palm Sunday, which is today, where we celebrate the entrance into Jerusalem that Jesus made, and then it keeps going. We should celebrate on Wednesday Passover every year, but it doesn't line up with the Jewish calendar, so the church didn't do it all the time, but whatever. And then it's Good Friday, and then Easter Sunday. Now, I don't know if anybody's doing the math, but Friday, if he died Friday night, that means he couldn't arose on Sunday morning. I'm poking some holes. It's some theology. 36 hours as opposed to 72. It's wrong, but it's all right. It's not always about whether or not the people got it right, setting the days and the dates. What's important is that we remember. The important thing is that we remember what Jesus did. We remember what the Father did, right? We remember these things. That's why we have these weeks, because I talk to y'all about this all the time. We as human beings are terrible about forgetting stuff. It's like God can do the greatest miracle, heal your family member of cancer, and 4 weeks later, you're like, I don't know how I'm going to pay the bills. He healed your cancer. He'll pay your bills. Right? You can watch God do miracle after miracle after miracle. The reason is because, I mean, look at the Israelites in the Old Testament. Right? God parted an entire sea for them. And then they get on the other side and be like, we'd have been better off back there. Like, what? We forget quickly. When God does miracles and God does things, right, we fail to remember things. So that's why we have things that we, like God even instructed the Jewish people from the very beginning, I'm going to give you these dates so you remember every single year, right? You have to remember. And so that's why we do this every year. It's not because we necessarily have to, but we should. We should continually remember what Jesus did for us. And I know that people will talk about this being pagan holiday that was set up and this, that, and the other. But it does, let me say this. When Jesus said, you know, hey, if they're casting out demons in my name, they're discussing me, they're talking about me, just let them be, right? We have to understand that just because something is set up maybe a little off doesn't mean that it's not something that we should remember. That's what this week is about, remembering who Jesus is, what he's done for us, why he did it for us, and the biblical stories that we can reference to learn from during this time period, okay? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to walk straight through it, starting in verse 1, and we're going to read the very first thing that Jesus says here. It says, as Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the towns of Bethpage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. Now, before I say this, some of you who don't know what Palm Sunday actually means, we're not going to read it later on down the road in this text, okay? It's only in John. They say they lay palm branches in John only as a like almost like a red carpet for Jesus, lining it up. We ain't going to read that, but that's where the name comes from, okay? And so as we see this, there's so much symbolism in some of these things, and I wanted to make sure to throw that in there, okay? As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the towns of Bethpage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, and here's what it says. Jesus, key word, sent two of them on ahead. Now, the gospel message, this is the gospel message, right? Right? This is the process of the gospel. Jesus is teaching the disciples right here that the time has come for me to send you on an assignment, right? Jesus tells us in the Great Commission, what we call the Great Commission, he says, go and preach the good news to Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And make disciples of men, right? Make disciples. Making disciples is teaching people how to become fishers of men, just like Jesus had taught these disciples how to become fishers of men. That's that right there when he said Jesus sent two of them is the reason why we do what we do here at LifeGate Church. All right, so at LifeGate, our mission statement is to help people find their purpose through the love of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. How many of you are in purpose class right now? Or purpose class? Anybody in purpose? Yeah. Yeah, purpose. It's an awesome class. It's amazing. We help people find their purpose through the love of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. That is our mission at LifeGate Church. Now, we accomplish that through three phases: meeting together, maturing in purpose, and then making a difference. We start with meeting together, right? Because it's the model of what Jesus did. We don't just have these missions or these purpose statements or these things, these core values that we have, just simply because we just think it looks cool, sounds good. No, it's what we live by here. It's what we operate by here. We want to make sure that we're helping people find their purpose. The only way we do that is to meet together. That's what Jesus did with his disciples constantly, right? For years, he met with them. Then, by meeting with him, they matured in their purpose. Because you can be saved, but when you get saved, you're not ready immediately to go preach the gospel. You may not even know enough, and it may wear you down when you start getting questions. You need to spread the love of Jesus, but you may not know how to get into dialogue of certain conversations. And not only that, but you may not be able to carry out certain and specific assignments. So what you have to do is you have to constantly come and be a part of a body of Christ so you can meet together, when you're meeting together, you can mature in purpose so that you can make the difference that God wants for you to make. That's what your purpose is all about. That's the reason you were created, is you were created by God for a purpose. And so what we're here to do is try to follow the model that Jesus put in place. That's why when it says Jesus sent them, it is part of our job as the church to equip people so they can be sent. Sent into your workplaces. Sent back to your family members. Jesus is giving us a model here. He's like, I need you to follow this. Here's a model. This is what you're going to do. Now, let's build on that, okay? Let's go to verse 2. Go into that village over there, he told them. As soon as you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it, bring it here. All right, now stop right there. I want you to notice what's happening here. Jesus is giving, okay, so he says, I'm going to send you on ahead, but here's what I need you to do. The Lord don't send you till he gives you instructions. But if we got some note takers in here, I want you to take notes. If you got your pen, you got your phone, you want to be a note taker, I'm going to tell you something. Note takers are game changers. All right? You take notes, you write it down, it says something and does something inside of your brain that makes you remember it better. It just does. It just is. It's psychological. If you're writing notes, write this. Your success will always be determined by your ability and willingness to follow instructions. Let me say that again. Your success will always be determined by your ability and willingness to follow instructions. Period. All right, so a little bit ago, Laura and I bought these shelves, and honestly, cutest shelves, awesome shelves, love them. Best part about these shelves, I took them out of the box, and they were the easiest shelves to put together. I didn't have to have no instructions for them. It was that easy. It was quick, it was easy, didn't have to have no instructions. Just able to just, here you go, put them together, easy. Shelves go up, no time flat. But now, recently, I got this little shed, but it was like a tarp shed. It was one of them cheap sheds. It was just like, we just needed something quick. It's about like 6 feet tall, maybe 6 feet long, about 4 feet wide. It's easy. It's small. I took all the pieces out of the box. And I'm thinking, hey, put them shelves together that easy. All right, y'all, so I'm sitting here, I kid you not, I look like the biggest idiot you've ever seen trying to put this stupid tarp shed together. I kid you not. All right, I get these things out, and I'm like, all right, yeah, that piece, that goes there, that goes there, that goes here. And I'm like putting the pieces together, and I raise the thing up, and I'm putting it together on its kind of back thing, and then I pull it up, and all of a sudden, This little piece is falling out of it, and this piece over here, and I'm like this. And then all of a sudden, I look over there, and the legs are off. Y'all, I tried putting this stupid thing together for an hour, and I thought I had it, and the whole thing fell apart. Piece by piece, fell on the ground, terrible. And I thought, you know what? Maybe I should have read the instruction manual. Maybe I should have read the instructions. All right, so listen. So I looked like such an idiot. Laura's cousin was coming by and said, you need help. I said, please don't video me. Yes, I need some help. I'll go viral for this. And so I read one instruction on the first page. And I realized what I'd done wrong. So I started putting it together again. And about 30 minutes later, stupid thing fell apart again. The reason was that I only read one part of the instruction manual. And I didn't read the whole instruction manual. And the problem is, see, here's why people don't follow instructions. You know how I know? Because I did it. Here's two reasons. Every time. It's a waste of time. Nobody gonna agree. It's a waste of my time. Or I'm too smart for that. I know better. A lot of times, it's both. The problem is if I just would have read the instruction manual first, I wouldn't have wasted an hour and a half of my time. And a lot of times, you and I find ourselves in positions we should have no business being in because we didn't read the instructions. Come on. People have a problem following instructions because they think they're above the instructions. People have a hard time following instructions because they think it's a waste of their time. Because they wouldn't do it that way. So if I wouldn't do it that way, it's a waste of my time. And in all actuality, it's like, I think so oftentimes we as Christians say, you know what? I got this. I know what I'm doing. And Jesus is like, all right, go ahead. Yeah, look at that idiot. What's that sound? Ain't that sound? It ain't making the sound.
Sorry, I can't stay focused sometimes. Okay, yeah, I don't know the instructions. I should have read the instructions. Don't know how to operate a telephone.
We have a problem following the instructions. We act like we're good. We know it. We know what to do. We got this. And Jesus is like, but I gave you an instruction manual. Well, you wouldn't be doing that stupid thing if you just read the Bible. You see, what happens a lot of times is people don't read the Bible until they need Jesus, when in all actuality, you'd have stayed out of your mess if you just would have read it in the first place. Because here's the problem. People don't read the Bible because they don't want to know what it says. Oh, people say, oh, it makes me tired, wears me out, I just get sleep. No, you don't want to know what it says because you don't want to have to abide by the... You're like, oh, all God wants to do is just hold me down with a bunch of set of rules. No, he doesn't. He wants to set you free. And the way that you do it is if you read his word and understand that his word is freedom. His word is the gospel. It's the good news. It doesn't bind you. It sets you free. It doesn't put restraints on you. It sets you loose. That's who Jesus is. That's who his word is. That's what it says. And if you'll just read the instructions, you won't find yourself in a mess. The problem is, we don't want to read the instructions. The Creator put an instruction manual on the earth in written form so you and I don't act stupid. You can't succeed unless you are willing and able to follow instructions. Because here's the bottom line. If you don't follow instructions, whoever it is that's over you will stop giving you tasks because they know they can't trust you to follow instructions. You want to know the quickest way to shut doors in your face from you being able to accomplish your purpose? Stop following instructions. Because the moment, I'm going to tell you this as a pastor, as a leader, the moment you stop following instructions, I don't put instructions in place or give instructions so that it binds you or straps you. No, I try to give you parameters so you don't get outside the lines. That's my job. And the quickest way I will take responsibilities from people is the moment they start going completely against instructions. And I know if I do it, I guarantee you your boss does it. And I guarantee you God does it. Read your Bible. So, look at the end of verse 2. Check out the end of verse 2. Untie it and bring it here. Now, that word there in the Greek is an interesting word. It's not really just untie it and bring it here. What he says to do here, what Jesus gives an instruction for, he says, untie it and put that donkey under your authority. That's what the word actually means. The word means put it under your authority. So I want you to go loose this thing and take authority over it. It's very interesting to me. Most people, they fail to live out their purpose because they don't have respect for authority. And they hate being under authority. It's just the truth. Because people think, well, you know what? My boss is just stupid. How many of you ever said that? Be honest, you in church? I see 70% of you lying. They may be. But most of the time, your boss ain't really that stupid. Most of the time, you don't like what they told you. And when people don't like what they tell you, sometimes they tend to go rogue. God don't bless that. You may find yourself some success from a worldly standpoint, but you won't find it from a kingdom standpoint. Snakes can sneak up, but when they start hissing, my Bible tells me I can stomp on the heads of the snakes. We have authority only because, look what happens here, only because Jesus gave them, right there, he gave them authority. He said, here, I'm going to give you authority to go put that thing under your authority. Authority is only given, Jesus gave you and I authority, and we only have it because of his grace, his mercy, his love, and his gift. And so, most people will find themselves in a position where they cannot find success. And I don't care where it is. I don't care if it's in the workplace, in your family, in your church, whatever organization you're a part of, in your business, it doesn't matter. Unless you can operate under authority, God will never give you more authority. Because until you've served under someone, you won't know what it takes to effectively lead people. Jesus knew there's no way these disciples could have led this donkey to its rightful place. Now, I find that interesting, though, because I find it super interesting that Jesus, he could have just called the donkey, like, to just tell him to come on, right? I mean, he was God. He could have just been like, I know where this donkey is, but he still gave an order and sent them. Lets me know the only reason he gives us authority is because he's got jobs for us to do. But you can't do your job effectively unless you learn how to submit to authority. Because here's the deal. The way you submit to the people that are in authority over you from an earthly standpoint shows your heart to God. Because if you can't submit to authority from people here, you definitely ain't gonna do it to a God you can't see. Why would he open doors for you? Why would he give you a path? Why would he give you any type of authority if all you care about doing is complaining about the authority you're under? You'll never be a successful leader unless you can serve effectively and have an ability and a willingness to serve who God has placed in authority over you. And that is in every situation that you live in. I'm talking about kids with your parents. Don't be disrespectful. Live under the authority of your parents. When you do that, you want to know how you attain success in life. Be respectful of your parents. Honor them. Serve under them. You're part of their house right now. You won't achieve success later in life unless you end up having to repent for that. Figure out how to submit to the authority then you're under. Then we can get into the wives submitting to the authority of your husbands. Nobody likes to talk about that one in the church no more. You want to talk about Bible or not? Got a mess in this world. First of all, because husbands don't know how to be husbands. Men have forgotten how to be men. And because of that, women don't submit to their husbands anymore. They think they ought to run stuff. I could get in trouble any further than I go right now. It's 30 days in a month. I'm just playing. I'm not going there. Should I, though? Woo! Big trouble. Quick. All right, God gives authority to those who prove they can serve under authority. The disciples had proven by this point that they knew who Jesus was, they knew who their leader was, they knew who they were serving, and they effectively served under him, and it's the reason why he granted this authority. Okay, let's get through the rest of this really quick. Verse 3, if anyone asks you, what are you doing? Just say the Lord needs it and will return it soon. That term right there, needs it. The Lord needs it. It says, I think in the New American Standard, it says, the Lord needs to borrow it. That term there is a business term. It's like what you would do if you went out and got a loan for something. Like, I need it for a little bit of time. Jesus is saying, I got some business to attend to. I need that thing because I got some business I need to get done. I got a job to do. And a lot of times, God is asking us, will we be willing to work with other people who got what we need to accomplish his purpose? You see, most of the time, a lot of us think we got all we need. We are all we need. We don't need no help. I did this. No, you didn't. God did it. And he uses certain vessels, and if certain vessels don't figure out a way to get the pride out the way, he'll use another one. We're all replaceable. You ain't special. I'm not special. Now, we're chosen, and we're special in the eyes of God. But in terms of the purpose, many are called, but few are. Don't act like you're irreplaceable. He has some business to take care of. What business do you need to take care of? You need to search yourself. You need to get involved in our purpose class and find it. Verse 4. Let's read this. The two disciples left and found the colt standing in the street. Look at this word, tied. Outside the front door. Your purpose is always tied to Jesus. Apart from him, you can do nothing. Your purpose is tied to Jesus. You'll never accomplish it without it. You'll never accomplish it trying to do things your own way. You'll never accomplish it trying to go your own path. You'll never accomplish it. You got to stay tied to Jesus. You got to stay tied to him by reading your Bible. You got to stay tied to him by praying. You got to stay tied to him by giving. You got to stay tied to him by reading and praising and worshiping. You've got to stay connected to him constantly. It's not something that you can just decide one day you don't need them anymore because you're good. You got it all taken care of. You got it all figured out. No. You always got to stay tied to Jesus because there's not a purpose that you can ever fulfill. No purpose I can ever fulfill unless I stay tied to Jesus. And the moment you truly figure that out is the moment God says, all right, I can lead you anywhere. But we don't want to tie ourselves to the one, the way, the truth, the life. We don't stay tied to him. We do it for a minute. But the moment we hear something we don't want to hear, the moment we have to do something we don't want to do, the moment, we're done. Your purpose is always tied to Jesus. All right, so let's go on down. We'll skip on down. Maybe verse 8, Matthew. Maybe verse 8. Maybe verse 9, actually. Hey, is there any way you could pull up in the New American Standard, Mark 11, 9? I like to pull that up, and I like this version. Let me set the stage for you, okay? Because you can't understand what's going on here unless you understand two things. Right here. Okay, let's read this. And those who went in front and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now let's go to verse 10. Can you get that one too? Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. A New American Standard says that. The King James says son of David. And if we really go back, let's go back to Mark. You got to, and if you want to understand this, it's, y'all, this is good. All right, this is real good. But we got to go back to Mark 10. Mom, you can go ahead and play. I'm going to be like 7 minutes at the most, and I promise I'm going to get you down there. The eggs ain't going nowhere. Neither are the hot dogs. And the bounce houses and the petting zoo, they don't get here till 12:30. So technically, I got 20-something minutes. Try to only take 8 of them. But let's go back to Mark chapter 10. Let's go to the end of chapter 10, Matthew. This is so good, y'all. 46. Let's go to, I think it's verse 46 is where it starts. Then they came to Jericho, and later, as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a beggar who was blind, named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. And when he heard that it was Jesus, the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many were sternly telling him to quiet, be quiet. Shut up. That's basically what that's doing. Just shut your mouth. But he kept crying out all the more, son of David. I wonder if there's anybody in here that's a loud mouth, that's willing to say, you ain't gonna get in the way of my blessing. You ain't gonna get in the way of my miracle. I don't care how many times you try to tell me to shut up. I will continue to call on the name of Jesus because I know who my God is. I know what he can do. I know if he says he can do it, he will do it. You better not tell me to shut up unless you want to hear me yell it a little bit louder. And I wonder if there's anybody in the room that says I'm not a quiet mouth. I'm a loud mouth, and when someone gets in my way and someone begins to say, no, shut up. You say, Jesus, a little bit louder. Nobody's getting my blessing. Nobody's taking it from me. Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him here. So they called the man who was blind, saying to him, take courage, stand up. Same people as telling shut up. Good Lord. But shut up. Hey, he said, you come on. Take courage, stand up. He's calling for you. Keep going. Whew. And throwing off his cloak. Thing had been on him. for all them years. Woo! My God. He jumped up and came to Jesus and replied to him. Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the man who was blind said to him, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go, my God. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. Now, here's something interesting. Here's the reason why you got to know that. Because this is the first time Jesus allowed this man. This is the first time he allowed anybody to say, "Jesus, who? Son of David." You say, "Why is that important? Why is that important?" Here's why it's important. First of all, you can't get your miracle till you see Jesus in the right way. That's the first thing. You won't get your miracle unless you make sure that thing that's been blinding you all them years, I don't care if it was the drugs, I don't care if it was the alcohol, I don't care if it was the man or the woman or the divorce, I don't care what it was, but you got to clean them things off. You got to let them go. You got to let them drop. You got to get rid of them. You can't see Jesus in the wrong light. You got to let go of whatever it is that's been hindering you in your past, and you got to get focused on Jesus. You got to say, "Jesus, I see you. I see you for who you are. I know who you are because my eyes have been opened. I don't see you any longer as someone who just saved me. I see you as healer. I see you as deliverer. I see you as redeemer. I see you for who you are." And you gotta open up your eyes. You gotta see him properly. Because he said, "I couldn't do many miracles in my own hometown because they didn't see me. They didn't see who I was. They didn't see I was true forgiver." But that's not even the whole part of it. There's the second thing. Jesus didn't rebuke him. You know, all the other times when they would say something like "Son of David," see, "Son of David" meant he saw him as Messiah, Savior. And that was fighting words. If I had to title my message today, I would have titled it, "I'm Going In." I'm going in. That's my pre-Christian days. No, I'm just kidding. That's my heathen days. No. Jesus looked at him. He said, "What you need?" He didn't rebuke him, because the moment that he said that, he knew the Pharisees was going to chirp. In Luke chapter 19, he said, "Master, ain't you going to rebuke your disciples? Ain't you going to rebuke these people? Ain't you going to rebuke this man?" That's what he's saying right here in Mark chapter 11. In Luke chapter 19, that's what he's saying. He's saying, "Aren't you going to rebuke him?" Jesus never rebuked this man. You know why? Because it was time. And I'm telling y'all, church, we are in a season right now. It is time. My God. Some of y'all better hear me right now. You got to make a decision today to say, "I don't care what I'm getting ready to face. I'm going in. I don't care what gets thrown my way. I'd prefer not to have to drink this bitter cup, but even if it is my job to do it, God, I'm going in. I'm going to the place you've called me to. I'm going to do the thing you made me for." There's never a time when Jesus realized it was going to be easy. There's never a time he thought it was going to be simple. He knew the task at hand. And he understood soon he'd be handed over to be put to death. Church, we're in a time period where our nation may fall apart soon. It may go to hell in a handbasket. But if I know anything, my Bible tells me that there's a remnant that rises up from the ashes. And we gotta make a decision today. We will do what is right. We will speak what is right. We will say it. We will do it. We will not come back in town from the enemy. We will make a decision that we know our next step is that we gotta go in. There's no turning back. We must absolutely, with all of our hearts, make a decision. We are going in. We're following Jesus. We're staying tied to Him. No matter where that takes us, I know if I stay tied to Him, I'll find myself victorious. Because my God has never lost a battle, and He never will. He's never lost a battle, and He never will. Satan thought he had him when he killed him and put him up on that cross. But 3 days later, he came back from the pit of hell with the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And he said, look here, sucker. I'm back! Y'all go ahead and stand. Come on. Stand with me all over the church. Come on. Woo! Everybody bow your head and close your eyes. I wanna ask our decision team to step out into the aisles. Listen, I know that what you've heard here today. We make sure that we preach the gospel, the truth about Jesus and what He did for you on the cross at Calvary over 2,000 years ago. The Bible tells us that there is no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of innocent blood. And what Jesus did on the cross at Calvary over 2,000 years ago, we are celebrating this week because we know without a shadow of a doubt that none of us would be here in this position without His grace and His mercy and His love for us. And trust me, that is what it was. Nobody sends their child to die on a cross unless they know that it was necessary. And the love that the Father had for us is incredible. And so right now what I want you to do is I want everybody in the church to bow your head and close your eyes. And if you're here today and you say, hey, I've never given Jesus a real shot, but I need Him. I want Him to be the Lord and Savior of my life. If that's you here today, what I want you to do is I want you to simply raise your hands where you are. Maybe you've lived a life that's like, yeah, I've not lived like I should, or I've kind of backslidden, and I need to get right with God today. If that's you and you say, maybe it's not you need salvation, but maybe you need to rededicate your life to Jesus today. If that's you here today, I see you. Yes, simply raise your hand right now. Yes. Yep. Yes, I see you. Yes. Here's what I want you to do. I want you, everybody, to keep your head bowed and eyes closed for just a moment. If that was you and you raised your hand, I want you to simply raise your head right now and make eye contact with somebody that's in the aisle right now. They've got bags in their hands. We want to make sure to get this in your hands. And here's the reason why. Because this journey of following Christ is not supposed to be hard from a standpoint of not having resources. It will be difficult as you walk this life at times, but I'm telling you, it's better to walk with Him than walk with hell. And so we want to give you the resources. We want to put a bag in your hand. We want them to lead you in a prayer today of forgiveness and acceptance of Jesus' love for you. So here's what I want us to do. Now, with everybody can raise your head right now. Raise your head, look up here. Here's what I want us to do. We do this here at LifeGate Church. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, that you shall be saved. So here's what I want you to do. I want everybody in the church this morning, on three, what I want you to say is, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, okay? There we go, church. One, two, three. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Come on, I don't know how many hands we just had raised. It was like 7 or 8 that I saw raised all over the building. Come on. Come on, give God some glory. Woo! All right. Incredible. Incredible. Incredible day. Really quick, I want to give you instructions. I know I had you stand, but now I'm actually going to have you sit for just a minute because I don't want you to have to stand the whole time. All right, I want to give you instructions for what's going on downstairs. Hey, listen, if you raised your hand and you didn't make eye contact with somebody, there is a, on the way out, there is a table back there and there's a banner that says, I have decided. You can grab a bag. Maybe you were shy and you didn't want to raise your head and look at anybody. There's a bag out there for you. Grab a bag. Take it with you. Your next steps are inside that bag, okay? Your next steps are inside that bag. So make sure to grab that. Here's what I want to do. I want to give you some instructions, okay? Because we're going to have a lot of fun downstairs, outside. But I want to make you aware of what's going on, okay? So, we got the food outside, okay? Food's outside, I think. These were the instructions I was given. We got food for everybody, okay? We got food for everyone, so make sure you head down there, get in line, get you some food. Here's the deal. We're going to start the egg hunt about 1 o'clock, okay? We will go age by age at different times. So if you have kids that are separate ages, you won't miss them, okay? So there's 4 different age groups. We got a crawlers group, and then we got the other 3 groups. And I don't know how specifically the ages are broken up, so I'm not gonna do that. But each age group will start. We're gonna try to get everybody downstairs and start eating and get everybody in line, get you some food, and then we're gonna start the egg hunt at 1, okay? We have train rides, okay? We got a little train coming by. Train rides, gonna take train rides all the way. You got face painting, balloon animals, right? We got some balloon animals. That's gonna be a loud afternoon. We got petting zoo coming. The petting zoo will be here at 12:30. So by the time you get down there, it may not be there, but it'll be there soon. And then afterwards, Kona Ice, I think, will start the train. I see the train riding by outside. That's hysterical. Y'all can head down to the fellowship hall. I'm done. Here, I'm going to pray for you really quick, and let me pray for the food. And then you just, Lord, I pray that you would bless the people here today. I pray that your word goes forth, that it goes out of here. People are changed as they leave here today. Lord, we are so thankful for who you are. We love you. I pray that you would bless this food that we're all about to eat. We thank you for it. Don't let anybody get sick from anything to eat. There's enough sickness going around. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey, I'm Pastor Jamie, lead pastor here at Lifegate Church in Dalton, Georgia. And I just want to say thank you for choosing to worship with us today. We hope that whether you're watching this live or you're watching this at a later time, that it brings value to your life. We would love to have you join us in person if you're ever in the Dalton area. We're at 2744 Cleveland Highway in Dalton, Georgia. If you'd like to know more about what's going on or how you could get connected with us here at Lifegate Church, just go to lifegatedalton.com. We would love to get you plugged in some kind of way and let us know if there's any prayers or anything we can do for you. Once again, thanks for joining us today. God bless.